It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. The MTA started to offer paratransit service to people with disabilities in the 1990s. It's known as AccessoRide, and it hasn't changed much over the decades. Until transit officials launched a program in 2017 that lets some commuters call for rides on demand, unlimited. It's been successful. The problem is, as WNYC Stephen Nesson reports, the experiment may be a victim of its own success.
Shian Horn is in her 30s. She lives on the Upper West Side in her childhood apartment.
Yeah, there's a lot of funky stuff in here.
She's a freelance writer and public speaker. She has cerebral palsy and walks with the help of two ski poles wrapped in what looks like silver shimmery wrapping paper. And a little over 2 years ago, Horn was one of several hundred paratransit customers who got an offer from the MTA that changed her life.
And I was like, wait, sign me up. You know, I don't mind being a guinea pig for good things.
The pilot program would allow her to call or book a taxi on her phone right there on the spot, like you would book an Uber. No need to call a day in advance. She could use it as many times a day as she wanted and go anywhere. And each ride would only cost her $2.75, same price as a subway ride. It was a dream come true. She barely has the words to describe it.
I didn't think this was possible, and I don't know. I'm just so, and here's the thing about progress, too. You can't go back.
But that's exactly what the MTA wants to do now. They say rolling back unlimited rides is the only way to contain costs. With 1,200 users now in the pilot program, it costs the MTA nearly $17 million a year. That's unsustainable, says Alex Elagudin, advisor for accessibility at the MTA.
We can only afford so much within our financial envelope. We're becoming as lean and as efficient as humanly possible, but with the demand on the service, it's difficult to sustain within given funds.
Instead, he says, they'll double the number of participants in the program. But, and here's a big but, it will restrict the number of rides each person can take to 16 a month. And crucially, the MTA will only pay for the first $15 of any ride. The rider will pay anything above that. And if you've been in a taxi recently, you know you're not getting too far on just $15. So in early December, before the program changed, I wanted to see what unlimited taxi rides means to a user like Horn.
Book a new trip for today or tomorrow. Please press 2.
Horn's booking a trip to Lower Manhattan to meet with her financial advisor.
And your name is Sian Horn?
Close enough.
She gives her ID number and the pickup and drop-off location. And a few minutes later,
it is a yellow taxi cab. It is currently 3 minutes away. Oh.
The speed and efficiency creates good problems to have.
I didn't anticipate the fact that I don't have my coat on.
She hustles downstairs where her yellow cab is waiting.
Hi, good to see you. Thank you for waiting.
The driver will get $25 from the MTA, which is the contracted amount for a trip in this zone. But Horn pays just $2.75, cash, and no tip. I asked the driver if he minds this arrangement, and he says no, but during rush hour, he could probably make more from a customer on the meter. Horn heads up to her meeting, and I wait for her in the lobby.
See you later.
By the time she's done, it's dark, cold, and rainy. Horn was invited to an after-hours show at the Cooper Hewitt Museum, so she calls for a ride. But things don't go as smoothly as last time. The driver can't figure out which entrance she's waiting at, so just drives off.
It always bumps me out when they leave without calling.
Still, if she were in the regular AccessoRide program, where pickup and drop-off times can't be changed, we wouldn't even be standing here. Horn's last meeting had actually been pushed back an hour at the last minute. But with this pilot, she can come and go as she pleases and not be afraid to say no when someone delays a meeting or of being stranded and footing the bill for a pricey cab.
5P40.
Oh, yay!
Finally, okay. After standing in the cold for nearly an hour, the second cab shows up.
You know what? In this case, I'm going to ask you to run ahead so we don't lose him.
The driver is Ahmed Mahmoud. He's driven yellow taxis for 30 years. I ask him if he minds receiving the flat fees users like Horn earn him.
Honestly, give us a good business. And the fare is very varied. You don't have to look for a change or credit card is declined. And, you know, improves the business.
He says with Uber hurting yellows, this is a good boost.
Not a little bit, a lot. Honestly, a lot. And we're happy to help them.
Horn clambers in.
Let me take my keys. Thank you.
Next stop, the Cooper Hewitt for an immersive dance and movement tour. The attendees form a sort of conga line and make their way around the first floor to a room with butterfly-shaped objects flitting around in light bulbs hanging from the ceiling. Horn says the spontaneity and freedom she has with this program have allowed her to feel like a real New Yorker. She goes to random events and makes unexpected connections, which have even turned into paying gigs. Horn runs into a friend, Shanique Ruiz, from Bushwick. Like Horn, she has cerebral palsy. But unlike Horn, Ruiz uses the traditional AccessoRide program. I ask her how her day was today. She says, not great. She had a dentist appointment, which was fine, but it finished early, so she had to wait for her pre-ordered ride.
And I was stranded for 4 hours because they told me I couldn't change the address. And I said, are you serious? And they were like, sorry, can't help you.
Two New Yorkers with similar disabilities living two very different lives.
I am going to a fundraiser for the New York Women's Foundation. I have a...
I would have loved to go.
That's fine. We'll plan it out. Great to see you.
You too. You're always going to fun stuff. And I always find out last minute, so I'm always like screwed.
Screwed by the system in which every trip she makes has to be planned 24 hours in advance. But now, Horn will likely lose her freedom too when the program changes this spring. Back at MTA headquarters, I ask Ella Gooden how someone like Horn should accept the changes that are coming.
I think this was an added bonus where you had the ability to have some spontaneity, but ultimately our traditional service, which is improved, is still available to you.
There's a push by some state legislators to extend the pilot, but it's not clear that has any traction. But for Horn, the thought of losing this service she's relied on for the past 2 years is just too much.
It makes me physically ill. It's kind of a sad thought, you know, to be thinking about 2020 and, okay, what will I have to give up this year? Instead of, like, what am I looking to expand in my life?
Right now, the MTA isn't budging on this issue. Stephen Nesson, WNYC News.
We the Commuters has been reporting on transit and accessibility and has a live event coming up on March 10th. It's called Imagining a More Accessible New York in the Green Space. Join us for performances and stories and a look at possible solutions. For tickets, go to WNYC/thegreenspace.